to part three. It's so good to be here with you once more. Man, I want to equip you with everything I can so you can be all God has destined for you to become. Now, before we get started, I want you to make an agreement with me. I want you to agree with me that you will be a doer of the word and that you will do every one of the activities in the yellow boxes in the transcript of this recording. Now, as I'm not in front of you and can't shake hands on our agreement, here's how we're going to do this. I'm going to stop and play some music. If you are still listening after the music, you have agreed with me in the sight of God that you are going to do the activities in the yellow boxes. This is serious. This is for doers only. So if you agree to be a doer, keep on listening. If not, stop this recording. Are we clear? Okay. Here comes the music. I am so glad you have made this agreement with me. Congratulations, you are a person who does. You're a doer. And I like doers. And so does God. So, welcome. I want to talk to you for another few moments on the subject of goal achieving. Faith with works is great, and best of all, it really works. But to enhance your probability of actually accomplishing something, it's a brilliant idea to set goals for yourself to achieve. Now, I do have a special bonus for you that you may have seen already called the 5 essential elements needed to accomplish any goal you want. So this here should accompany that nicely. Now, the first thing I want you to do is to get a pen and paper to write with. Now, part of achieving goals is being content with what you have achieved thus far. You can't spend your time unsatisfied with what hasn't happened yet. Be grateful for what has happened already. One thing I want you to take note on is nothing becomes dynamic until it becomes specific. You can have thoughts and ideas in your head, but until you actually decide exactly what you want and what it means to you, in other words, the purpose for it, you have a slim chance of making any of your thoughts come to fruition because passion is missing. I've learned that the things humans aren't all that passionate about, they don't tend to do for very long. They just cave in and quit. So make sure that whatever you set your hand to do, you are passionate about. When you are passionate enough, you stick with something until it manifests and stick with it to make it grow. So then let me ask you this. If you knew it was impossible to be anything other than successful at everything you do, what would you want to do? Now, you may have something you want to do, but haven't defined it yet. If you don't define it, you are aiming at nothing. If you aim at nothing, you will hit nothing. Now, pardon me for stating the obvious, but in order for a goal to be achieved, obviously, prior to that, a target must be set. A lot of people don't set goals, and there are a number of reasons for this, but the main reason is because they fear failure or disappointment, looking at their goals years down the line and haven't achieved them. There are many other reasons beside this, but for now, I want to concentrate on encouraging you to set goals, and by setting, I mean write them. Then keep track of your progress. I have a good reason for telling you to do this. You see, an interesting study conducted a number of years ago revealed some noteworthy statistics which I know you will benefit from knowing should you decide to make the decision to follow in the footsteps of great achievers after you hear what I have to say. In this study done on a leading class at a major university, the students were asked if they had written goals set for their lives. 87% said they hadn't written goals. 10% said they had goals, but they hadn't actually written them. 3% said they had written goals. Here's where it gets interesting. 20 years later, these same students were interviewed and asked questions about their lives. The 3% who had written their goals 20 years ago were worth more than the 97% combined who hadn't written goals. Now, that's just on the financial side of things, but I'm sure those people had goals in other areas of life and were excelling beyond the rest of the 97% by a considerable margin. So, there is something truly significant about actually setting goals and writing them down. And I will add, constantly reviewing them. Those writing goals down seem to be the same people accomplishing great things. Now, I find this interesting because in Scripture, the Bible makes mention of the significance in writing things down. God said, write the vision on a tablet, and it will come to pass. So I suggest you write your goals down and be specific about number one, what you want it to look like. Number two, how you want to do it. Number three, who will help you. And number four, who will hold you accountable. We think sometimes we would be ashamed if we wrote down our goal and read it later or somebody else read it later and we haven't achieved what we wrote down. But Habakkuk chapter 2 verses 2 to 3 quotes God saying, write the vision and make it plain upon tablets because it will surely come. The Lord said, this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Prosper where you are planted. Start doing something towards achieving the goal you have written. No matter how insignificant you think it is, start something to get the momentum going. Even if you think it's for something which won't manifest until the distant future. If you aren't in the habit of acting like you are, where or who you want to be right now, as you are in the present, you aren't going to end up there because you're waiting to be who you want to be before you start acting like it. It doesn't work that way. You have to be who you want to become before you become it. Do something every day that is like the person you want to become. Don't wait until you are where you want to do what you say you will do when you get there. Do something about it now. Even if you don't have the resources now, do something towards its achievement. If you need money, set a bank account or create an envelope and start depositing the money towards that dream. Name the account after the thing you want to do. Work out how much money and time you will need to achieve that goal, and when you start accumulating money, start deducting how much you have from the total. It will begin to excite you every time you see that number decrease. And then write down the date you want this to happen. Not when you think it's possible by natural means. Put when you want it to happen. Write this all down. This is following kingdom instructions. Write the vision, make it plain. It will come. Watch the kingdom make things you can't see work on your behalf to make things happen unexpectedly to make your vision come to pass. This is exactly how you prosper where you are planted. Too many are putting things off till when they either have more time or more money. Start making the money and the time available. We make provisions for what is important to us. Start at the end of what you want to achieve and work your way backwards, and then start where you are. If I were you, I would write down a list of everything you want to achieve, learn, or be in life, and the areas you wish to develop, and the areas you wish to develop or improve. Here are some suggestions. Career, skill improvement, your time usage, your fitness, your health, your relationship with God, your relationship with people, finance, maybe own a house, business or ministry goals, management skills, leisure or hobbies, be it sports or maybe travel. Or maybe you've seen people doing something which you have always wanted to learn. Maybe it's singing, surfing, skiing, playing an instrument, learning to fly an aeroplane, dance, learn to drive. Maybe someone has told you about a nice place to visit and you want to see it for yourself. If you're a thrill seeker, maybe you want to do a skydive or a bungee jump. If you're a sprinter, you may want to run 100 meters within 10 seconds. Maybe you want to slam dunk. Whatever it is, write it down. I want you to go through the list and decide when you want it to be done. Write the time you want to do it. Write a number equal to the number of years you want to accomplish by next to each list item. For example, a 1 would represent 1 year. Prioritize by what is most important to you. Keep this list to be reviewed. Next, take the 1 year goals and make a date for when you will have it done and when you will start doing it. Then do something towards achieving your goal. Buy a book, book a lesson, make an appointment. Think about what you have to do to make this happen. If you want to learn to play an instrument, find a teacher, pick up the phone, make a booking. Done. Now you're doing it. You have achieved your goal. You can now tick that item on the list. This is what builds your confidence. As you have more and more ticks on your list, your confidence grows in this method of doing things. You'll look back at the things you've achieved and say to yourself, "Look at all this. I am an achiever." And you'll find yourself achieving 80 to 100% of everything you write down. If something doesn't go how you want it, don't be alarmed. We make mistakes because we're human beings. Even the greatest among us make mistakes. It happens. If you don't get a goal done this year, that's okay. Put it down for next year. Focus on what's going right. What are the positives? Think like a champion. Achieving goals becomes so much easier when you focus on the progress you have made rather than the progress you haven't made. And by that, I mean how you think about the progress positively. The only time you focus on what isn't done yet is when you are actually doing something to get it done. Now, in setting out to accomplish anything, God is with you. And when He is, everything under your influence flourishes. What we regard as failure, God regards as a lesson or an experience. Everything we set our hand to prosper could mean that we set our hand to do something and it doesn't work out the way we wanted. That really was prosperous for us. You learn a prosperous lesson. Had it worked out, it might not have been all you thought it to be. There's a way that seems right to a man, but at the end of the path is destruction. So really, that experience appearing as failure was actually serving you, and it not working out how you wanted was you putting your hand to work, and its seeming failure was actually making the overall plan prosper in the big picture. Sometimes we think that if we do everything right, everything will fall in place. What I've discovered is that what is supposed to fall in place will fall in place. Even with rejection, when you are working as unto God, things will work out. Now, make your goals motivating. By that I mean attainable. So attainable that you can begin where you are now. When you set a goal so outrageous that you seriously know is currently out of your depths, you will be demotivated when you keep the goal there and don't achieve it. Elliot, what about faith? I believe I can do anything. If you have a goal so big that you need faith, that is brilliant. I encourage that every goal you have should require faith. Have a big goal. That is fine. You need to now figure out what you can start with that is smaller, which contributes toward the big goal. Break down the big goals into smaller chunks. Build your confidence by achieving small goals. Progress is made one step at a time. Houses are built brick by brick. A race is won step by step. Every big accomplishment is achieved with a series of little accomplishments. This step-by-step methodology is really the only intelligent way to accomplish anything. Sometimes when you look at certain individuals, it may appear that success was accomplished overnight. To some, Joseph went from prisoner to prime minister in a twinkling of an eye. The reality is there was a considerable period of time and a series of accomplishments from when he was sold by his brothers into slavery to becoming a prime minister. My point is, when you look deeper into each situation of seemingly sudden success, there was a lot of groundwork and momentum in place before it came to light above surface. Solid foundations were laid first, otherwise their success would fall as quickly as it was attained. Wealth acquired by vanity or hastily will diminish, the scriptures say. Each month you should have something set that you want to accomplish and break this down into daily tasks. Each month will contribute to a year-by-year improvement. The transition will be huge, but achieved step by step. Next time you see somebody living their dream, remember they didn't start that way. They more often than not implemented consistent effort day by day, acquiring new habits and breaking habits till the process was complete and the vision fulfilled. Now the next thing you can do is introduce yourself to people. People say when it comes to making it in this world, it's all about who you know. Well, you may know a lot of people, but they don't have a clue who you are or what you are about. I'm of the belief that it's all about who knows you. Progress comes with working with people. Affiliates, partners, customers, friends, family, etc. are all people. And through these people is where your progress will come from. All manifestation of any dream materializes by connections with people coming to life. Now, don't just see people as a means to get something from them. Help other people. Help other people get what they want, and you will get what you want. When you focus on satisfying you, nothing comes of it. Focus on others, and what you want will come to you. God promises that in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. In whatever business you are in order to excel, you are going to have to be into some heavy duty networking. I've heard someone say, I believe your network will have a lot to do with your net worth. Now, as you know, I've talked about the importance of networking in greater detail in the Faith Booster, You Are Highly Favored of God. But I thought I'd make brief mention of it here again. Never underestimate anybody or consider anyone as insignificant. That person could be your gateway to a multitude of opportunity. One thing I promised myself was to be everywhere, all the time, letting people know I exist, live out loud, be forthcoming, and introduce myself at every opportunity. Keep in contact with the people you introduce yourself to, and don't just call them when you want something. If they are people you know you won't be dealing with on a regular basis, be sure to make contact with them at least once every 6 months. Now, the other thing you can do is invest your time in profitable ways. Make your time profitable. If what you are doing is not profitable, stop it and begin doing something profitable. It's interesting how we want the results for things now, whilst we happily have the habit of putting things off till later, or sometime, or tomorrow, or next week. These are all sheep's clothing for the wolf called never. Promise yourself and God right now that you will never again leave anything for tomorrow that you can do right now. Now, if you are promising God something, you had better take it seriously. So ask the Holy Spirit to remind you of this. If there is anything you can do now, you have to do it. If you're not in the mood for whatever it is, I can promise you, if you start doing it, telling yourself you'll just do it for a few minutes, after a few minutes, you will be in the mood and you will be in the right state to continue for an hour. You can actually trick yourself into doing an hour's work by saying, oh, I'll just do it for 2 minutes. Next thing you know, you're in the mood and in a full swing of action. And I know this works because it works in the negative. When we say, oh, well, watch TV for 2 minutes, what happens? 2 hours later, you're still in front of the TV thinking, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Another way we waste time is pretending we are getting ready to take some action. And we spend a few minutes getting ready, don't we? We decide to have a snack for some energy to do what we want to do. Then we get thirsty, so we get a drink. And then we decide we want a little light entertainment while we have our snack and drink. So we switch on the TV for some leisure before we work. Then we decide we will stop watching TV in the break. But it got so interesting, we decide to watch the whole program. As we flick in the break, we see another program we like is coming on. So we decide to watch that while having dinner. Then we decide we need to actually cook dinner. We end up watching our program after dinner. We wash the dishes and we are too tired. We decide we can do it tomorrow, and before we know it, the day is over. We have done nothing. Sound familiar? We spend too much time pretending to prepare to take action. There is no such thing. Use the get ready time and get into action. You'll be finished before you know it, and you can do all the things you enjoy afterwards. Yes, you might miss a few things, but you can go to bed that night with the satisfaction you achieved what you had hoped to do that day. The worst thing you can do when you are about to do something is turn on the TV. It's very seldom you will actually follow through after with some action. And the worst thing you can do during your activity is turn on the TV. 20 minutes off work can easily turn into 45 minutes. My advice to you, leave the TV for leisure time only. Discipline and manage how you handle your time. The truth is, in reality, we manage our time not according to scheduling, but according to what is a priority, what is important to us. There is no such thing as not having enough time. We make time for whatever is important to us. Take a look at www.godanswersyes.com/2hourworkday.html. You will discover how you can begin working the hours of the laziest person and get the same results the biggest workaholic would desire. You'll learn the secrets to how you can maximize your quantity of achievements in the shortest record-shattering time. Must have possession of undying obsession with your goal. Uncommon success and true fulfillment really requires a passion you are absolutely obsessed with. In truth, you will only put your heart and full efforts into something you are passionate towards, accompanied with a fervent desire to accomplish something. Otherwise, it's not something worth pursuing. Your passion is where you have the personal satisfaction whilst earning money at the same time. I have a little phrase I say to people. If you do it for fun, then you can do it for funds. If your work is doing something you love, you'll never have to work another day in your life. You will still want to do it even after you have become rich and have everything you want that money can buy. Pursuing something for money that you are not passionate about is just chasing money. You will get tired. That's why I recommend you follow your passions. You create something and you will be persistent and adamant in making it work because it's your baby. You will look after it. You'll nurture it and make it grow. You'll see it through till it is what you want it to be. You will have a vision for this thing and will work towards it. You're not helping yourself if you keep getting principles without vision. Until you have vision, you will just be empty with no substance, struggling to make a quick buck. People smell a rat from miles and are repelled by them. When you have a vision you are passionate about, congratulations, you just cranked up your probability of being successful and, most importantly, a guarantee of longevity. This is one of the shocking secrets all these gurus won't tell you for selfish reasons too numerous to mention. Sincere passion is one of the fundamental foundations you must build upon. Doing something that fulfills you is what you want because you are becoming successful helping people at something you love. The wealth that comes as a result is a byproduct and it is not meant to fulfill you, but assist you in expansion and serving on a greater level, worldwide, far beyond your physical presence. The vision is what fulfills you and gives your soul this warm feeling of genuine satisfaction. What we all ultimately want is to feel good, be at peace, happy, and joyful. This can't be achieved by obtaining material things. They have no substance. All of us have desires and dreams of what we really want to do or be, but so few of us actually surrender to these things and follow this purpose that has been planted in us. Instead of surrendering to our dream to nurture it, we murder it. This is why God has to look to and fro, looking for someone to show himself strong in, because if we all surrendered, he wouldn't have to look very far. God is with you, so don't be afraid to pursue your desires. You see, one person with God is a majority. You're in tune with the architect of the universe, with the power that sustains everything. That's where your awesome power comes from. The spirit realm does everything with and through you. We need to have our eyes focused on a vision we are passionate about, because this is where our energy comes from to be persistent and see manifestation. When you surrender your vision, your subconscious mind works on the ways to see that vision fulfilled. Your vision will make you sensitive and perceptive to recognize everything, every force that will bring the vision to tangible reality. Now I have one question for you. Are you ready to take action on the vision God gives you? Well, you should be. And you should start now. Get excited about it. Genuinely excited. If you don't have a vision yet, seek God and find yours and then come back and listen to this section again. But when you have that vision, or even if you have a goal to accomplish, get started. Listen to what the Bible says. Get started. Listen to what the Bible says. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree fall forward, the south, or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. In other words, circumstances are just circumstances. They will always be there. Whatever happens, happens. That's not what is important. Following on, he that observes the wind, in other words, he who considers obstacles and the circumstances, shall not sow. He will procrastinate in making the vision come to pass. So don't take notice of the circumstances. They should not dictate to you what you can or cannot do. They are not the truth. They may have authority now, but don't take the authority as truth. Take the truth, God's word, as authority. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, in other words, you don't see all the action being taken on your behalf in the realm of the Spirit behind the scenes, just like you don't know how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all prosper. So regardless of the circumstances, make your move. In the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not withhold your hand. In other words, be diligent at all times, for you do not know which action you take will prosper and bring your breakthrough. Either this or that, it could be anything, or whether both alike will be good. Now that was taken from Ecclesiastes verse 11, verses 3 to 6. Now, a man by the name of Edward Burke said, "Nobody makes a greater mistake than he who did nothing, because he could only do a little." Whenever you find yourself indecisive about whether or not you should take action to do something, invest in something, say something, whatever it is, instead of being led by your emotions or allowing excuses to hinder you, you have to teach yourself to ask yourself this question: if I act on this, regardless of where you are now, if I act on this, will this ethically bring me in the direction of what I intend to accomplish? If the answer is yes, do it, and do it now. If you have a good idea that you're really not sure about, but you think it will contribute towards accomplishing what you set out to achieve, write it down. If after a week you still think it's a good idea, put a team together and execute it. I think you should have a team working with you, and someone in that team should be your accountability partner. Thank you so much for listening and promising to be a doer. My prayer is that you are truly empowered and inspired and better equipped to achieve what God has predestined you to be. This is Elliot Odell. Faith with works works. Stay blessed. I'll be in touch. I love you. Ciao.